Today's message for us today comes from the Gospel of Luke, and I'd invite you to follow along with me on the screen or in your bulletins as I read God's word for us today. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Terchak and of Galilee, his brother Philip Terchak of Etura and Transconsinus, and Lysaria Tranchak of Albany, during the high priesthood of Ananias, Caiaphas, and the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This Advent, we've been going through a series on the carols of Christmas, hoping to hear God's birth story afresh and to find ourselves in the Advent journey. And today's carol is the little town of Bethlehem, and I'd actually like to read it to us today as we prepare to hear God's message to us. So please follow along on the screen. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the starlit, silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning star, together proclaim the holy birth and praises sing to God the King and peace to all on earth. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. What a beautiful carol. I must admit that Christmas has snuck up on me a little bit this year. I was in Walmart yesterday, and you know how they have that helpful reminder of how many days there are left until Christmas, and I realized that it's less than 2 weeks to go. We have 12 days until Christmas, and between traveling and not feeling well and conferences, I really haven't been paying much attention to Christmas itself. I've been getting ready for church a lot, but I haven't put much time into the celebration of Christ's birth. And if you're anything like me, you probably have quite a bit to do still as well. Last minute gifts to buy, to wrap, holiday cards to send. I must admit, we finally put up our tree last night in the midst of the craziness that is a Saturday in the life of a pastor's home. Parties to go to, baking to be done. The list seems endless when you hit this time of year. And it seems like the holidays are always just a little crazier than the rest of the year. There's this nervous energy going around, this pressure to get everything just right, to create memories that will last forever. So we exhaust ourselves and we work and work and work, counting down to that big day. But the carol today paints a very different picture of what that first Christmas would have been like. It paints a picture of a small town, Bethlehem, caught unaware of Christ's birth. And the author uses words like still and silent and sleep to describe the hours leading up to Christmas morning. None of those words describe me right now as I'm getting ready. And it's almost like Christ's birth was unnoticed by humankind. This carol has a great story behind it, and I want to share it with you. It was written by Philip Brooks. He's a Massachusetts native, actually. He was born in Boston and went to school at Harvard and became an Episcopal priest, and he was the head pastor, the rector at Holy Trinity in Boston for 20 years before becoming the bishop, the Episcopal bishop of Massachusetts in the 19th century. He was a great man. He was described as being a large man in voice, in influence, and in stature. And I love this because he comes in a good 6 inches taller than me. He was a large man, and he was well respected in his day. Philip Brooks actually preached the funeral sermon for Abraham Lincoln. It's how well known he was and how loved and respected he was in his time. This hymn was written as he was serving in Philadelphia, and he took a sabbatical and went to the Holy Land for a while. And on Christmas Eve, he found himself in Jerusalem. So he got a horse and he rode towards Bethlehem. And it's described that he comes upon the fields where he imagined the shepherds would have kept watch over their sheep at night. And this carol is his imagination of what that first Christmas Eve would have looked like, his vision for us today. Brooke paints a beautiful picture of what the first Christmas was all about, and he reminds us of some important truths of the baby Jesus. He describes Jesus as our everlasting light, God our King, the Lord God Emmanuel, God with us. And he captures the beauty of the incarnation, of God sending his own Son to become man so that we could live. And as beautiful as these descriptions are, I must say that what catches me most is how unsuspecting this little town is of Jesus's birth. We know that the Jews had been waiting for a savior, but they didn't know Jesus was coming then. The song says, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. For Christ was born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. It brings to mind this image of a village all tucked in for the night, peacefully sleeping, oblivious of the miracle happening right down the street from there, a miracle witnessed only by angels above. And it reminds me how oblivious we too can be to what God is doing in our life. Whether we're so busy that we miss opportunities to see God at work, to participate in his love and his grace. Maybe we find ourselves hurt and disappointed and unable to see how God is moving in the world around us. Or maybe just in the craziness of the holidays, we forget the true purpose of Christmas. We become so caught up in life that we miss what God is doing right down the street. I easily fall into this category. I am a type A person. It means I like goals, I like lists, I like calendars, I like knowing what's gonna happen. And I don't like it when things surprise me and get in the way of my plans. As a pastor, I've been working on getting ready for Christmas for the past 2 months. I've been picking music, planning prayers, inviting people to participate in worship. But by Thanksgiving, I was all Christmased out. I peaked too early. I was done. And it took Aaron reminding me that Christmas isn't just about a list of things to do. It's not about buying presents and sending out cards and planning church, but it's about being present to the mystery that is God's Son, Emmanuel. So we've had to be very intentional this year to figure out how to build traditions into our life that remind us the real meaning of Christmas, that aren't just about getting things done and sending out gifts, but are about experiencing God's love and being reminded that He is with us. I think all of us are in danger of falling into this trap, becoming so caught up with what life throws at us that we miss what God's doing right before us. I can understand why the people of Bethlehem missed the baby Jesus' birth. God's people had been waiting for a Savior to come. They knew that God was going to send somebody to save them, a Messiah. But they'd been waiting for over 1,000 years. Why were they to think that this night would be any different than any other night? But it's not the same with us. We know when Christmas is coming. We celebrate it every year, December 25th. It's on the calendar. This is the day we prepare for, to remember the gift of God's Son. And we know that the Emmanuel is with us, that God is with us now. And we see His love everywhere we go. This Christmas season, as we are busily getting ready for that big day, it's also important that we prepare our hearts for the birth of God's Son, that we don't just do the traditions and the rituals, but that we make room in our lives for God. That's what our gospel reading today reminds us of. Here we find John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, going about the countryside, telling people to get ready to hear the good news that only Jesus can bring. Listen to what the gospel says about John the Baptist. It says, "The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." And then Luke goes on to quote a prophecy that was thousands of years old from the book of Isaiah. And he says that a voice of one calling out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in and every mountain and hill made low. And the crooked road shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. And all the people will see God's salvation." This is the work that must be done before Christmas morning, preparing our hearts to receive the gift of Jesus, to clear the path, to fill in the valleys, to raise up the mountains, to make the way smooth for Him, to prepare a place in our heart for Jesus. This is the work of Advent, remembering why we celebrate, examining our own lives, removing any obstacles that might get in the way, slowing down enough so that you hear God in your life. The truth is, Jesus still wants to enter into our hearts this Christmas, to provide us with His joy, to give us purpose and hope, to wash us clean and make us His own. Christ made this journey from the heaven to the manger 2,000 years ago so that we could become children of God. And His love for us is as strong today as it was then. But we must do our part and prepare a way for God to come into our own lives. The beauty of God's love is that it is a free gift for all who want it, a gift of grace. that Christ has come to this earth to live and die so that we could be cleansed from our sins and know the love of our Heavenly Father, to be freed from the fear that holds us captive, to know the true joy, the true hope that we have in God. We've seen so much suffering in this world these past few months, here in our own lives and community, and throughout the world. Evil, darkness, pain and sickness, death. It's not what God wants. And when Christ comes again, all things will be made right. But until then, we hope in him and we wait for his return. This holiday season, let us prepare our hearts to receive the gift of God's Son. This birth of a child, love abounding, heaven reaching out and touching earth. Let us slow down enough so we can see God. Let us look for Christ in unexpected places. Let us remember the reason for this season. And let us wait in joyful expectation for Christ to come once again and to fill our hearts with his love. Let us pray. In the words of this beautiful carol, we pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Yes, Lord, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Help us to see you in this world and to prepare a place in our hearts for you. Thank you for being born in a manger so many years ago and for loving us still. In your name we pray. Amen.